Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the last-minute influx of dark money to support a venal and misleading so-called political reform proposition on the California ballot. Derek Cressman, the Vice President for State Operations for Common Cause, joins us to discuss efforts to prevent anonymous billionaires from buying the election with $11 million that has been laundered through a series of fronts that appear to have the fingerprints of Karl Rove and the Koch brothers. Then we will speak with Matthew Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, published in Madison, Wisconsin, where President Obama and Bruce Springsteen held a final campaign rally yesterday. We will discuss the division and dilemma amongst progressives who want to voice their opposition to the president's policies without helping elect a reactionary representative of the 1% who is beholden to Tea Party extremists. Then finally, we'll try to interpret Paul Ryan's charge that President Obama is putting America, quoting, on a dangerous path that compromises Judeo-Christian Western civilization values. Sarah Posner, the senior editor at Religion Dispatches, joins us to discuss last-minute attempts to whip up religious fervor amongst Christian fundamentalists to vote against their nemesis, the Antichrist, Barack Hussein Obama. Joining us now is Derek Cressman, the Vice President for State Operations of Common Cause, where he's leading Common Cause's effort to amend the Constitution to reverse Citizens United versus the FEC. In 2011, he played a leading role in organizing an Uncloak the Kochs rally in Palm Springs, California, exposing the hundreds of millions of dollars that Koch Industries and other allied billionaires have spent to influence the political process. He has testified before the United States Senate, California Assembly and Senate, California Fair Political Practice Commission, and is the author of The Recall's Broken Promise, How Big Money Still Runs California Politics. Welcome to Background Briefing, Derek Cressman.
It's great to be here, Ian.
And with this lead story in the Los Angeles Times on the very day of this critical election indicates that this is a big story with national implications, certainly because there's nationwide money laundering going on here with the money that's been sent into California from Arizona to affect two of the key propositions, one on education, Proposition 30, and the other one, Proposition 32, which is a mendacious effort on the part of a handful of billionaires to, in the name of getting money out of politics, to enable themselves to be able to dominate politics in perpetuity by limiting the ability of unions to put their side of the story forth. So the fact that this money, this $11 million, which the Attorney General of California is trying to find, it started out with Virginia-based Americans for Job Security. It was transferred to a group called Center to Protect Patient Rights. And then in October, it was sent to an Arizona group, Americans for Responsible Leadership, and then it's been transferred into California. Where does it stand now, Derek?
Well, what we know so far is that, as you just described, Ian, somebody went to an awful lot of effort to try to keep what they were doing secret. And we now know minimally, you know, as a result of the actions by the California Attorney General and the Fair Political Practices Commission, that the people promoting Prop 32, claiming to be, you know, in favor of getting money out of politics, turn out to be a bunch of cowardly crooks and liars. We still haven't gotten completely to the bottom of it, in that we don't know who originally gave the money to that first group that you mentioned, the Americans for Job Security organization, but we do know that that's a highly partisan outfit that has been around for more than 10 years. They have some ties to Karl Rove, and they have a history of doing this type of thing. And in fact, they reached a settlement in Alaska where they paid a fine, I believe, of $20,000, and admitted to using their nonprofit status essentially just to shield the identity of a donor in a ballot measure up there. So these are unseemly people we're dealing with.
So, Derek Cressman, the last in the chain so far, this group in Arizona, Americans for Responsible Leadership, What we found out about them is that they are represented by a law firm in Virginia, which is where the money originated from, by the way. And that law firm shares a mailing address with American Crossroads, which is Karl Rove's outfit. And the other group that received this money and then passed it on to the Arizona group, the Center for to Protect Patient Rights, is run by Sean Noble, who's a key participant and a former employee of Charles and David Koch. So it's not unreasonable to suggest that both Karl Rove and the Koch brothers are simply hiding their fingerprints on this money, because already the Kochs have gotten a reputation, I think, in part thanks to you, for being these venal oligarchs who are out to buy our democracy.
Yeah, all the evidence is pointing to the fact that there's this highly sophisticated network of essentially shell organizations, so-called nonprofit groups, that primarily serve just as conduits to launder money from folks like Charles and David Koch and the folks that attend their fundraising seminars and people that Karl Rove is raising money from. And I think after our last election in California, where there was a global warming question on the ballot, and voters found out, in fact, that it was companies like Valero and Tesoro and Koch Industries that were backing that measure, and once they learned that, it went down to defeat. I think the Kochs have gone to even greater lengths to try to conceal their identities, because they're worried that if voters know who's behind their efforts, that they'll look at them pretty skeptically.
Well, these two oil companies that you mentioned, these two Texas oil companies, Valero and Tesoro, they're in the process of trying to get a monopoly on all of California's refining capability. And recently, the price of gasoline was run up in a way that defied all market logic, prompting Senator Feinstein to question how much the price of gas in California was being manipulated, because there was no shortage of gas, but suddenly the price spiked. So this is what these companies are about. They're about fleecing the state, just like Enron did with the phony power crisis. And I'm just astounded that the people of the state of California aren't able to get the real information here, you know, thanks to you and the California Attorney General Kamala Harris. You know, at least we're getting some information, but it feels like, given that we're talking about this on the day of the election, that the barn door's open and the horse is down the paddock.
Yeah, that's certainly right. I mean, probably more than half of Californians had already cast their ballots by mail before this information, hit the newspapers and the airwaves. And, in part, it looks as though, like, these characters have gotten away with an illegal $11 million contribution that wasn't properly disclosed. We are looking at what steps we can take at Common Cause to deter future behavior like this, both by continuing to make sure that this particular set of bad actors sees the full enforcement of the law, and that could include fines, that could include a requirement that the Small Business Action Committee, which was the final recipient of these funds, have to pay $11 million to this HR fund. That's actually what the California Campaign Finance Statute requires. So we think there's some things that can still be done to ferret out this behavior and to bring this particular set of folks to justice. But more importantly, we want to look at how we can strengthen and streamline the disclosure law so that next time around, voters have earlier access to complete and full information about who's trying to influence their vote.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Derek Cressman, who's the Vice President for State Operations of Common Cause. where he's leading Common Cause's efforts to amend the Constitution to reverse Citizens United versus the FEC. In 2011, he played a lead role in organizing an Uncloak the Coke rally in Palm Springs, California, exposing the hundreds of millions of dollars that Coke Industries and allied billionaires have spent to influence the political process. Now, the California Supreme Court met on Sunday, and they really made a very, very quick decision here. So it looks like everything's being done to, you know, to smoke out this hidden money and this last-minute injection of $11 million from out of state to affect a proposition, again, a very mendacious proposition, Prop 32, which is dressed up as political reform, when in fact it is the most reactionary and greedy power grab imaginable, enabling billionaires and oligarchs to essentially dominate California politics in perpetuity by tying the hands of any other smaller grassroots or union organization that would want to put forth an opposing viewpoint. So there's a lot at stake here.
Yes, and you can imagine if you were a billionaire or an oligarch trying to, weaken the hand of your political opponents, you might try to do that in a way that didn't have your fingerprints on it. And that's exactly what we were seeing here. You're quite right to note the really remarkable step that the California Supreme Court took to meet in an emergency session by conference call on a Sunday afternoon and to vote unanimously, 7-0, force this rogue group, you know, the Americans for Responsible Leadership, quote-unquote responsible, to comply with the audit that the Fair Political Practices Commission was doing. It was, you know, fairly historic act by the courts, by Anne Revell at the commission, and by Attorney General Kamala Harris. And it was somewhat encouraging for me to see that, you know, the enforcement agencies and the courts that Californians depend upon actually did step up to the plate here and do their level best to try to get this information out. You don't always see that type of robust enforcement, but we really did here, I think, because this particular $11 million was so large and so obviously hiding its source. It was really offensive to people all across the state.
But Derek Crespin, the idea that you can launder this money and it can bounce around the country and discuss, and of course with these 501c4 nonprofit vehicles, these super PACs that Karl Rove and others are exploiting now that allow billionaires to donate money anonymously, and more importantly and more disturbingly, corporations can also give money and not be identified. Of course, corporations are very concerned about their customers knowing where their money goes and to whom. And since half of their customers are Democrats and half of their customers are Republicans, they're normally restrained from being overtly political. But with these so-called social welfare vehicles, 501c4s, and the IRS has not looked into any of them. And by the way, the minute the election's over, they can dissolve these vehicles. So they never existed. So we've got a broken federal election commission. They're absolutely useless. And we've got all this money pouring in and all of the chicanery going on. It would seem to me that we need the FBI and the Drug Enforcement Administration. We need trained people who've worked on money laundering cases to get into the electoral process here.
Yeah, I think you're quite right, and we need to see a much more robust Internal Revenue Service, which is, you know, the entity that these so-called social welfare groups are filing their returns with to conduct audits at that level. Unfortunately, I share your assessment of the Federal Elections Commission, but what we are seeing literally just in the course of the past week is now three states have had success in starting to pierce the veil that these so-called nonprofits are putting up. You know, we saw this progress here in California, but also in Idaho. The Secretary of State went to court there and enforced a 30-year-old sunshine law that forced a ballot a group spending money in a ballot committee there to reveal its donors. And just recently in Montana, the Office of Political Practices up there went to court and forced another one of these shadowy groups called American Traditions Partnerships to reveal their donors. So we're starting to see more robust enforcement coming from state enforcement agencies than we're seeing at the federal level. And, you know, maybe what we need to do is just make sure that those entities have the resources that they need, and we see other state attorneys general like Kamala Harris stepping up to the plate. That might be more fruitful than federal action, which we may be a long time waiting for.
Well, Derek Crespin, I appreciate you joining us here today. And obviously the fight will go on after the election, and I just, you know, I'm quite concerned about the extent to which they've already gotten away with this, that we're playing catch up here, that's the way the system is now designed.
Yes, it is, and I appreciate your interest in it and your efforts to inform your listeners about it. So thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Derek Crespin, who's the Vice President for State Operations of Common Cause, where he's leading Common Cause's efforts to amend the Constitution to reverse Citizens United versus the FEC. In 2011, he played a lead role in organizing the Uncloak the Coke rally in Palm Springs, California, exposing the hundreds of millions of dollars that Coke Industries and allied billionaires have spent to influence the political process. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with the editor of The Progressive magazine.